We're very pleased to have sitting with us this morning Judge Aaron Subramanian of the Southern District of New York. Welcome, and we're very glad to have you here.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
We have six cases on the calendar this morning, two from the PTAB, one from the District Court, one from the Veterans Court, one from the Trade Court, and one from the MSPB. That case and one of the patent cases are being submitted in the briefs and will not be argued. Our first case is Percept Technology versus Magic Leap, 2024-2370. Mr. Maggot.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. It is a rare situation where the opposing party makes an admission that concedes a point that makes obviousness impossible, but that is what happened here. On page 21 of the director's brief, the director agrees that Pemmer performs the image comparison and thus the authentication process regardless of or irrespective of eye motion. Contrary to the board's decision, this is the opposite of claim language requiring, and I quote, the eye sensor activating the circuitry responsive to eye motion of a user.
That doesn't preclude intervening steps.
No, we don't claim it does, Your Honor. That's not the construction that we are advocating for. But it does mean that the eye sensor has to be responsive to the eye motion. And in the director's admission on page 21, the director admits that it is the image comparison by the eye sensor operates in irrespective of eye motion. Note the contrast. Irrespective, that's the director's admission, but the claim requires responsive to. Now, how do we know?
Respond to paragraphs 24 through 26 in the specification, which talks about exactly the eye motion of the user being what is used to authenticate the user.
I'm not sure I quite understand your question.
So in Pemmer, the board relied on, among other things, paragraphs 24 through 26, which talks about the processor determining differences where the only difference is, quote, the motion of the eye, which yields a pattern that is, quote, unique to an individual and can be used to, quote, identify or authenticate the subject. Why doesn't that disclose the limitation that we're concerned with here?
Your Honor, I think that brings up a great point. We know that this is irrespective of eye motion because there can be eye motion that does not result in activation. If the wrong eye that's from an unauthorized user moves, the authentication circuitry will still run and return a failure. This is the if a match is found language found in Pemmer found at appendix page 1160.
Sure, if you don't have the right user, then there won't be authentication. But if you do have the right user, then there will be activation, meaning the authentication of the user, and that is based on eye motion, meaning the differential images, you know, the pattern that is determined by the processor based on the two images taken by the eye sensor. So why isn't that, unless you're imposing a direct cause and effect relationship, why doesn't that meet the limitation of responsive to eye motion of the user?
Your Honor, there's two points in response to that. So first is that really is working backwards, and I think this is a point that both the board and the director confused. In Pemmer, certainly sometimes authentication succeeds. If you begin with that eventuality, you will infer that eye motion happened when there was a successful authentication. But the claim is not about a success condition where you look backwards to see how it happened. And the function of the claim it requires an eye sensor responsive to eye motion to activate the circuitry. That's why the director's concession is so key. The second point that I'd make to that is, at most, in a successful authorization under Pemmer, it really comes down to that's a but-for argument for eye motion. but for antecedents is not the same as responsive to.
Well, can you point us to what you're talking about in the board decision? I mean, they gave quite an extensive discussion about PEMER. It's like 6 or 7 pages, starting at A64. And they go through in detail, I think, most, if not all, of the arguments you make. So where's the error there in your analysis?
Well, Your Honor, I mean, the give me just a second while I turn to it, but the error in their analysis is finding the authentication responsive to the iMotion. And that's what I'm trying to explain, that the iMotion
most in PEMER. They have a paragraph starting at the bottom of page A65, going through the top of A66, ultimately concluding, therefore, user authentication in PEMER is both responsive to iMotion and in reaction to iMotion.
Yes, Your Honor. So I do not think under the correct reading of PEMER that the iSensor is responsive to or in reaction to.
Well, can you go through their analysis of how they reached that conclusion and tell me what the error is there?
Yes, Your Honor. So, Your Honor, the board on appendix page 67 said exactly the opposite of what the director disagreed with here. The board said, we disagree with patent owner's suggestion that in some instances iMotion is irrelevant to user authentication in PEMER. And that's exactly what I'm getting at, is the authentication in PEMER, you know, that's the image comparison runs irrespective, as conceded by the director, to iMotion. If you look at, and if I can point you to the appendix at page 1154, that is the figure, that is a flowchart of PEMER, indicating how this works, how the process started by the controller works. And there's nothing in here that this is just a preset process that runs irrespective of iMotion.
All right, so let me make sure I understand. Because the system in PEMER does the comparison of the images regardless of whether there's a live eye or not, your argument is there is nothing that is responsive to iMotion of the user. Is that your position?
That, yes, Your Honor, because, and explicitly as conceded by the director, that link between
right.
the.
But I've got your position?
Yes.
Correct?
Okay. I think so.
So, but zooming out a second, a little bit, PEMER says that user authentication occurs where there is a live eye that is reflected by iMotion. And that's how you get the differential edge pattern that is used by the processor to authenticate a user. So, if we take it from that vantage point, why doesn't that meet the claim limitation?
So, Your Honor, again, I think that's working backwards from the success condition, but also my point earlier about you could have, if the wrong user does the iMotion, there's situations where there is iMotion and there is no activation of the circuitry. So that just really exemplifies the disconnect there between the structure of PEMER and the claimed invention of the 929 patent.
Well, doesn't that go to how the system is responsive to iMotion of the user and not the mere fact that it is responsive to iMotion? Meaning, take smart glasses, okay? It may be that it is responsive to iMotion and that the circuitry is activated based on that iMotion, but that if you're not authenticated, it will not activate the circuitry. That doesn't mean it doesn't meet a limitation like this one. It meets it in some cases. So how it is responsive is not an issue here. The fact of responsiveness is what's at issue. And so why doesn't PEMER at least do that?
I would say that's not responsive, Your Honor. If there are situations where there is eye movement and then the circuitry is not activated, that really is not responsive.
And would you agree that our standard of review in terms of what PEMER discloses is for substantial evidence here?
Well, the claim construction is de novo, but the application certainly is substantial evidence.
Right. So in terms of what PEMER does or does not disclose, our review here is for substantial evidence. Fair?
Yes, Your Honor. But the application to what the underlying claims mean, the underlying, and that's the plain meaning of the term, or how the board construed effectively.
So you think all of the board's conclusions are based really only on a misinterpretation, a misconstruction of the claim term?
I think it is, Your Honor, whether it's a misconstruction of a claim term or it's an application that is just in error, that is a reversible error
Well, maybe I misunderstood. I thought your discussion of PEMER before had to do with the fact that it doesn't even stand up to the district court's claim construction.
I don't think that's correct, Your Honor. I don't think it does, because really there's not, when you break down PEMER and get into its structure, there's nothing that's actually in reaction to, as the director conceded. The image comparison operates irrespective of eye motion, as the director conceded. Your Honor, I see that I am out of my time.
Well, you're not out of time. You're into your rebuttal.
To my rebuttal.
Continue or save it?
If that answers your question, I would save the rest of my time for rebuttal.
We will save it for you.
Thank you.
Ms. Craven.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. The Board properly found the claims of the 929 patent unpatentable under Percept's own construction of responsive to as in reaction to. Regardless of the claim construction, the claims are equally unpatentable under what they want as a cause and effect construction that allows intervening steps like image comparison. The director has not conceded that the eye motion, that the eye sensor doesn't activate the circuitry responsive to the eye motion. The fact that the eye sensor does the image comparison regardless of eye motion is just how the eye sensor works. And without an eye motion, you'd never get activation of the circuitry. As the board's concluded at JA69, in order to get activation of the enhancement circuitry, the user's eyes must move. Therefore, there's nothing that activates the enhancement circuitry other than an eye motion, not the eye sensor itself in image comparison, and not a dead eye or a marble put in the glasses. And without an eye motion, there is no activation of the circuitry.
So can you help me understand where that last part, the activation of the circuitry, is reflected in PEMER? Because if you look at PEMER, it really talks about the image capture technology. So as I understand it, the controller causes the eye to move,
yep.
And the eye sensor takes the images, and then the processor compares those images.
Yes.
That's all that's disclosed in PEMER. Whether that can be then incorporated into some other technology is something that's outside of the scope, at least of the disclosed inventive concept in PEMER. So can you help me understand where you get responsive to the eye motion of the user as it relates to activation of circuitry?
Sure, that is, the board relied on Mann for that. So if we look at, at JA 57, this is the board talking about the Mann eye sensor, and that sensor doesn't make the eye move, it just scans the iris and then authorizes the user to then activate the circuitry. And so the board found that Mann teaches that step of authenticating the user to activate the circuitry, and that is shown, it's the third paragraph in the last sentence of that paragraph, where the board says, it's undisputed that Mann's iris scanner licenses the eyeglasses to provide sight then to the licensed user, but not to others who might steal the glasses. So that is Mann's iris scanner activating the eyewear's circuitry. So it's that part that then when you add PEMR's eye scanner into the combination with MAN, that scanner then activates the circuitry in MAN's eyeglasses responsive to the eye motion.
All right. So if the activation of the circuitry is coming from MAN and not PEMR, then why isn't Percept correct that all that PEMR really says is that there's image capture and comparison, which occurs in every single circumstance? Because if the activation of the circuitry based on that, based on the eye motion, is not in PEMR, but rather in MAN, then in PEMR, all there is this image capture technology. And I think that's their point, is that there's really nothing in PEMR that gets you to responsive to the eye motion of the user.
I mean, PEMR does teach that it's using its eye scanner for authorization and in systems that would authorize. And it's MAN that teaches then that authorization is going to activate the eyeglasses. And it's clear when you put PEMR's eye scanner into MAN, what is happening is even though the sensor does its little thing, it has to capture the image to know that the eye even moved in the first place. But that movement itself, that image capture, can't activate the circuitry because without an eye motion, you would never get that differential image. And it's only with that differential image that you will then activate the circuitry. And I think it's also, maybe this also helps, the eye sensor isn't activating the image capture responsive to an eye motion. The claim limitation is the eye sensor activating the enhancement circuitry responsive to an eye motion. So the fact that the image capture itself is not responsive to the eye motion is unclaimed subject matter. What has to happen response to the eye motion is activation of the enhancement circuitry. So the fact that the sensor translates between eye motion and activation of the circuitry, regardless of whether there's an eye motion, is irrelevant to the claim limitation.
And of course, this is an obviousness rejection, not anticipation. And there are two references, not just one.
That's correct, right. It's the MAN references does everything but the responsiveness to the eye motion. Unless this court...
I just want to clarify, the patent's expired?
Oh. I'm not aware of that.
Okay. I'll ask your friend. I think it is.
I think it is, but we can hear from the other side.
All right. Thank you, Your Honors.
Is the patent expired?
Thank you, Your Honors. Yes, I believe it is.
Is there any other litigation ongoing?
There is another IPR appeal on a different patent.
Different claims, different patent.
I believe we noted this in our briefing as a potentially related case.
Is that appeal still pending in this circuit, or has it been?
It went back on remand to the board, and just recently there was another final written decision, and it is pending scheduling of a hearing.
But it's a different patent.
That's correct.
And those claims were also invalidated?
That's correct. So, Your Honor, I would make 2 points here on rebuttal. So first, I would note that everything my friend on the other side just pointed to as far as eye motion in PEMR was really just matched exactly what we said was it's nothing more than a necessary predicate. But a necessary predicate is not responsive to. For example, in order for the camera to take an image of an eye, there must be light. But light is not, the camera is not responsive to light. So I think that's a very important distinction. And then the second point, Your Honors, is if we back out a bit and just look at the disclosure of the 929 patent at a very high level. The patent is taught, and we cite examples of the eye motion on page 10 of our opening brief. The 929 patent is really about and these claims are about the eyes directing and causing the circuitry to activate. One specific example that I'll point you to is the blink twice and the circuitry will zoom in. This is just such a completely different type of process than is what is disclosed in PEMR. So if there are no further questions, Your Honor, We respectfully request the board reverse, and thank you.
Thank you to both counsel. The case is submitted.